Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan, you are on an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Several years ago at Trenton, me and a friend of mine, Stacy, we had closed the old lagoon. For those of you that don't know, a lagoon is a place for sewer that goes out and gets treated and goes from there. Trevin has one. We had built a new sewer plant and we were closing the old one. Part of closing the old one is we had to go plant trees out in the old one for a wetland. So we went and got all that taken care of, and Stacy and I were about ready to shut the gate on it and leave, and the state called and said we need a count of all the trees. So we go out, and he and I started walking around the edge of the lagoon, counting trees. They had cut the levee between the first pond, the first cell, and the second cell. And we walk all the way around the pond, and we get to that point between the two ponds, and there was a ditch between us and getting back to the truck. We sat there, and we added up the trees, and we got to talking. We said, you know, it's a long way back around to the truck. So us, being the smart guys we were, we said, I believe I can jump that. Stacy says, well, if you can, I know I can. I said, well, okay, you go first. I'd never seen Stacy move fast in my life till that day. He took about 10 or 12 steps back, and I didn't know the guy could run, but he took off running. He cleared that ditch, and he made it the other side. Then the pressure got on. Can I make that jump? I'm about 2 or 3 inches taller than him. My legs are longer. I said, I can make it. If he made it, I can make it. I go back about 5 or 6 steps. I looked at him. I said, here I come. And I took off running, and I jumped, y'all, and what a beautiful jump it was. My feet stuck at the edge of the other side. And here I stand, trying to get my momentum to go 2 or 3 more inches. You know, and 10 years later, when I'm standing here in front of you, I think to myself, I really didn't give it all I had. I think about standing there and how I wanted so bad to fall forward instead of backwards. And I don't know that I thought this then, but I think it now. I really didn't give it all that I could have. I had a little bit more in me that when I left the one side of that bank and headed toward the other, if I'd have put a little more effort in that, I would have been okay. But I didn't give it all I had. I failed to give it all I have, and to today, I still blame Stacy for me not making it because I was reaching for him, and he just stood there and looked at me. And we have a big laugh over it now. I want us to think about giving it all we've got. Motivate ourselves to the point that we say we can do it. We can be all we can be in the Lord's army. We can be all that we can be as a Christian, that we can live faithful, we can walk faithful, we can impact people's lives, we can motivate each other. We can influence each other. We can continue to drive forward, winning souls to Christ. We're willing to pay the price to be a Christian. And we give it everything that we have on every occasion because you never know. You never know what a difference it can make when you don't give it your all. You may think you're going to make it, and yet you don't. And by the way, I did fall back. I didn't make it. He didn't grab me, and I didn't make it. But when we think about our lives, we think about the Christian life, we are going to motivate ourselves to, when the occasion arises, we can know that we're going to give everything that we have. You know, I love, and I mentioned this before, I think, a while back, a movie. I like watching war movies. I like some of the older ones. And one of the movies called Glory. I love it at the end when they're going into battle. And I think it's Denzel Washington at the end ends up grabbing the flag and charging up the hill. But the question was, if this man who's carrying this flag, if he falls, who's going to take his place? You know, I never really thought about it, but I never wanted to carry the flag. Never was given an opportunity, but I never really want to carry the flag, because looking at that, really that's the target, because the guy with the flag is out front and he's running and he's charging up the hill. And what that flag does is that it's, first of all, a rally point for the troops. Every company or every even squad may have their own flag, but it's a rallying point that you know that if you get separated, that's the flag, that's what you go to. But in battle, that flag is out front, and as they're charging a hill or they're fighting, you know to follow that flag the whole time you're charging that hill. So the question was asked, if he falls, who's going to pick up that flag? And Denzel Washington, if it was him, if I remember correctly, whoever the actor was, he made it clear that he didn't want to. He didn't want to carry the flag. But when the moment hit and the man that was carrying the flag went down, they were getting pinned down and people were dying left and right. They were taking fire. And finally, Denzel Washington stood up, grabbed the flag, held it up high and said, "Come on." And he led that charge up that hill, and he didn't make it either. But he led that charge as he held that flag up. The music in the movie there, and it was intense, and it let you know what that meant at that occasion when he turned around and said, "Come on, follow me." We have to motivate ourselves, and we have to rally around Christianity. We have to rally around the Bible. We've got to be a disciple of Christ, and we mentioned that this morning in the class in the back. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means I'm a follower. I'm a follower of Christ. Too many people today, however, is wanting to follow man or follow a man or follow the world. I think it was Wednesday night in class out here we was talking about all the different ones over the past who have followed a man. People may get off the wall teachings and say we have to drink this poison, we have to get on that comet, we've got to do this, we've got to do that if we want to go to heaven. People get away from the Bible and they say this is really what it is. If we want to go to heaven, then you got to do this. Really, if we want to go to heaven, what do we got to do this morning? We got to follow the Bible. We got to follow the teachings of Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says what? I use it often. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not going to get another Messiah. We're not going to get Christ back. Someone else is not going to come and die for the world because it's already done. And what we have to do is follow Jesus. Be a disciple of Jesus. Be a follower of Christ and not a follower of man. It's a common term as we think about it in the New Testament. The text that Peyton read for us, and if you go back and you look at that, and you go back actually to verse 21, it gets the beginning of the thought in verse 20 actually. Jesus was setting the tone, and he was setting the time for what was about to happen, how that he was going to be arrested, and that he was going to be crucified, killed in verse 21, and on the third day he was going to raise from the dead. And you think about being a follower of Christ and the impact that was going on there. You can picture Peter when he took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "This is not going to happen. As long as I've got breath in me, this is not going to happen." Well, what happened here in this text that Peyton read for us? What's going on here? Jesus was telling the disciples this is what is about to happen, but Peter steps up and said, no, this is not what's going to happen. And look at his answer in verse 23, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. What did he mean? He meant you need to know your role here. I am the Lord. I'm the Messiah. I'm Christ. You're my disciple. You follow me. I'm not following you. Get behind me. I have a purpose. I have a mission. And that purpose and that mission is still today for each one of us. And we don't need to sidestep Jesus and go around and say, this is the direction we're going to go. Then the main part of what we want to talk about today is found in verse 24. You know, if you can this morning, for just a couple of minutes, I forgot my watch, but I see the clock. For just a couple of minutes, I want you to do something for me. There's not a person in here that does not have a problem. I can almost guarantee it. Everybody's got something on their mind. I've had a bad week and a worse weekend. And I don't say that to get sympathy, because I know that many of y'all have a lot in your life. But for just a few minutes, try your best to block that out. Block out whatever problems you may have. Block out whatever disagreements you may be having. If you're upset this morning, try to come to neutral ground. Do whatever it has to take, whatever it takes for you to come to a point this morning when you think about one thing and one thing only. I hope you're there. It's hard to do. But think about your soul. For the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about commitment. Different aspects of that and different ideas of that. But this morning, I wanted to start this small series that we're going to have in trying to figure out the price that we have to pay to become a Christian and to be a follower of Christ. When you look at the passage there in verse 24, the first three words when Jesus began to speak, he says, if any man. That is great possibilities right there. If any. That means every one of us in here. That's not leaving anyone out. Every one of us can be a Christian. We have a choice to make. We have a decision that we have to make. If any man shows great responsibility or possibilities, you think about Jesus and his decision. When he chose the 12, they come from every walk of life. They weren't the same. None of us are the same. All of us have different problems. We have different situations in our life. We have different temptations that we deal with. If you will, we have different crutches that we have to use that we go through life that we're trying to get rid of. But the opportunity for you this morning is endless when it comes to being a Christian and being faithful to God. If you can forget all the problems that you have for just a few minutes, all the things that pull you back away from Christ, pulls you away from God, and take those and put them somewhere else, and you push yourself up just a little bit this morning and say that Jesus is talking to me, and I have the responsibility and I have the opportunity to be a disciple of Christ. We don't have to beat anyone up to get to this point. We don't have to say it's just for us, because Jesus says, if any man will come after me, if this morning you have a desire in your heart and you have a desire in your life to be a Christian, you can be. Isn't that great? I mean, isn't that wonderful? No matter where you're at, if you have a desire to be a Christian, you can be. He didn't say, I'm going to take this side over here and all of y'all are predestined to be saved and unfortunately y'all are going to be lost. He didn't pick and choose. He says, look, everybody sitting in here at Treswick this morning, if you want to, you have that opportunity. The great invitation is what I first told Peyton to read, but I wanted him to read the other one. And he said, I read that one lately. And it's one that we all know. Not only did he call Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and all the different ones, he calls each one of us today as well. The great invitation, Matthew 11:28-30, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking to each one of us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is great responsibility and possibilities for men today. The possibility sitting in here this morning is endless, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, no matter what the situation is, the possibility is endless that you can change your life today, that you can become a Christian, that you can have your sins forgiven and they can be washed away this day because of your desire to follow Jesus and not follow man or not follow the world. I have decided to follow Jesus. I love that song. There's no turning back once I make that decision. If you go further and look at verse 25, or the end of verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And it's telling us what we have to do. We have to take up our cross, and that's what I mentioned a few minutes ago. No matter what your problem is that you're dealing with, if you've had a bad week, a bad day, you're carrying a heavy burden with you, pick it up. Let's carry it. Try to block it out of your mind right now. Take up your cross and follow me. The possibilities are endless, but there's a stipulation to that. That is that we have to follow Jesus. A lot of people today talk about going to heaven, y'all, but they're not following Jesus. We can't follow Satan and get to heaven. We can't follow the world and get to heaven. We have to follow Jesus. And when we decide that we're going to do that, the possibilities are endless. In the text here, the Lord had to tell Peter, get behind me. He had his own thought. He had his own mind here. He had another direction that he wanted to go. Some would be or become disciples of Jesus today if Jesus would follow them. There's a song, Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Where are you today? Where are you today with your relationship with God? Where are you today when you think about how motivated you are to live with Christ? Do each one of us in here this morning understand that we have the possibility of being saved? We have the opportunity to become a Christian. We have the opportunity of going to heaven. We have an opportunity to living a Christian life and following after Jesus each and every day of our life. As I mentioned in the class this morning in the back, there's about decisions that we make. How far will you let something go in your life before you stop and say, I have got to turn around? We talked about drinking and drugs and other sin and other aspects and decisions we have to make, but it's an endless possibilities here as we think about it. Wherever you're at in your life, how far are you willing to go before you stop and say, I have got to go to God. I've got to go to Jesus. I've got to live a Christian life. I've got to be faithful. I've got to be a follower of Christ. I cannot continue in the path that I'm going and expect to go to heaven. I'm going to be lost if I keep doing this. in the class this morning, we talked about drinking. I told him a little bit about my past. But at what point, if you drink, when are you going to stop? Is it when your children someday take up drinking? Become drunks? Alcoholics? Are you going to quit one day when you get behind the wheel and you have a wreck? And you kill somebody? I know that's harsh and I know that's hard, but that's reality. What is it that's going to impact your life when we're talking about sin? When is it that you're going to say, I'm not going to do this anymore? Is it going to be that when you're on your last leg, you're laying in a deathbed, if you're fortunate enough to have that, to have an opportunity? Is it going to be that when we're all gathering around one day to say our goodbyes, is that when you're going to turn away from it? There have been people that I have had an opportunity to talk to and pray with. Listen, that was truly blessed by God. Because they didn't die. And they had an opportunity to be restored to the church. One occasion, I baptized a person shortly before they died. They were blessed to have family members or someone in their life that would call and pray and do and get people around them to try to get them to A, become a Christian, or B, come back to God, to die and to leave this earth faithful. At what point are we going to, in our lives, stop and say, I've got to get serious about living a Christian life. I've got to be committed, and that's what we're going to in the next few weeks, committed to the church and committed to God and committed to a lot of things, but I've got to be committed to being a Christian. Folks, unfortunately, a lot of people is going to lose their souls because they're not committed. This is great possibilities here. He says, take up your cross and follow me. This morning, will you follow Jesus? We're about to stand and sing an invitation song. Will you commit to say, I will follow Jesus? Maybe you started following Jesus, but at some point you forgot that. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It may be that somebody in here needs to reposition themselves this morning and get behind Jesus and not be trying to lead Jesus and lead in the wrong direction. He goes on in verse 25 and verse 26, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. But listen to this. How far are you willing to go before you come back? Look at verse 26. For what is it profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now bring the pressures of life back. You're going to have to before you leave if you let them escape. Where do you stand right now? Where do you stand right now? If this was the time, if this was the end, if this is the last opportunity, if this is the last sermon, the last invitation song, the last time you'll ever be around water to be baptized, if this is the last time to come back to God and ask God to forgive you, and to get the church to pray with you and for you. If this is that time, are you ready? Is that not really how we have to look at this? Are we living as though we expect the Lord to come back? Or are we living as though we think we're going to live forever and have every day from now on to get right with God? I'm going to tell you, time is running out. It's running out. Whether the Lord comes or whether we die, every one of us sitting in here, we're not long for this earth. Time slips right on away from you. And if we're living as though we think we've got another year, no, we can back that up. We've got another day. If this was it, are you ready? Won't you come while we stand and sing?